Welcome to PRN's Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman. My guest today is Larry Pinkney. Larry's a dedicated activist. It's a pleasure and a joy to have him on. He's a former political prisoner. He's a Black Panther Party veteran. He formerly served as Republic of New Africa Minister of the Interior. Currently, he's an editorial board member of the Black Commentator. Well, you know what we're going to discuss today. We discussed it on Friday. We discussed it yesterday. Press TV in the last week has had me on five times on the same topic. That never happened before. The topic is Syria, of course. I'm really shocked. I had an interview with Press TV this morning. I had another one with them yesterday. They can call anytime. Sometimes they call me twice a day. What's going on is an absolute Western Obama-led atrocity against the free people of Syria. It's a war crime. It's a grievous war crime. Larry, it absolutely obsesses me. Syria is the first thought on my mind when I get up in the morning. I take it to bed with me every night. I roll around in bed longer than I should trying to get to sleep thinking about Syria, and I can't wait to begin the next day so I can get back on the story and get right on this and try to get solid information out to people so as many people as possible, along with others are doing, can actually know what Obama and other criminals running America and their allies in Britain, in France, in Saudi Arabia, in Qatar, in Israel, in Jordan, in Turkey, and other complicit countries, NATO ones, regional ones, what they're doing, destroying an independent country. Why? Because they want regional control. They want to exploit the country. France wants to recolonize it. Syria was a former French colony. America wants unchallenged global dominance. Israel wants unchallenged regional dominance. It doesn't matter how many thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people die, how much destruction is inflicted. None of that matters at all. Just imperial dominance matters. That's Obama's agenda. The claim that Syria used chemical weapons anytime since conflict began in March 2011, that claim is a bald-faced lie. There isn't a shred of chemical. There isn't a shred of credible evidence that proves it. None. Zero. Nada. John Kerry, Larry, I want to let you jump in, but John Kerry, He not only replicated Colin Powell's infamous moment, he did it twice, and he did it again five times this morning. He was on five Sunday talk shows in America, five of them. I don't even know what they all are. Meet the Press, there's an ABC one, there's a Fox one, NBC is Meet the Press, ABC one. I don't know what the other one is. Al Jazeera America is on in America now. It's a vicious propaganda service. It's one which is controlled by the Qatari monarchy. What in hell do you expect them to broadcast? They're viciously anti-Syrian, so you get propaganda pieces substituting for real news. Tune them out. Don't waste your time. BBC, the same thing. A propaganda service, since BBC was founded about 85 years ago, it was founded, it's owned, it's controlled, it's operated by the British government. What kind of news do you think they're going to report? You think they're going to report real news? Not a chance. As bad as the scoundrel media in America, same for National Public Radio, same for PBS, they're propaganda services. Larry, you can see how I feel about this. I think you do the same way.
I do. I do indeed. And the fact of the matter is that people in this nation have really got to come to our senses. This is insane, as I shot an email to you earlier today, where I said, this is just utterly insane. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what the agenda is of the Obama, or I call him the drone man, Barack Obama, Nobel Peace Prize laureate. I mean, you know, we really have to understand that what is at stake here is the survival of humankind, because these people are insane. They have insatiable appetites. They want to have regional and global control, and the people be damned. You know, so this whole scenario of Syria. Is Iraq all over again? And by the way, has anybody ever asked the question, what consequences are being taken or being suffered on the part of the U.S. regime with respect to its use of depleted uranium, okay, not only in Iraq, but also in Afghanistan as well as elsewhere? They have the unmitigated audacity to build a scenario of bald-faced lies in order to control. That's all it's about, is controlling, as you pointed out, controlling the region. They love to destabilize countries, because when you and let me just give an example, the example of Libya. The whole point, look at Libya now. Look at Iraq now. Look at it. It's outrageous. When I say it, I'm talking about the people that are dying as a result of U.S. intervention, and I don't even like that word, intervention, as a result of U.S. imperialist aims, okay? The U.S. is going militarily, going in and doing everything they can to destroy the infrastructure of sovereign, and I emphasize the word sovereign nation. This is insane. And we've got, we the people, everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people, we have got to stop it. And Obama is a megalomaniac. Let's just be honest. This man is a megalomaniac. The Peace Prize that he received, first of all, was ill-gotten. He should never have received it. But he has shown repeatedly who he serves. And it's not us. It's not everyday, ordinary people. It's the same bunch of crooks and criminals that his predecessors served. So that's my take on it. And, of course, we're on the same page. We're on the exact same page, Steve.
Oh, exactly, Larry. And, again, you're obsessed. I'm obsessed. It really is unspeakable what's going on. And it repeats over and over and over again. It's hard to believe, but it is a plain fact. I've written about it. I've documented it. Anybody can find the same information I've done. It's factual. I don't say things unless there are facts to back them up. Do I get everything right every time? Of course not. But I have a pretty good batting average based on the tremendous response that I get worldwide from dozens of countries, wonderful people ranging from high school kids to college professors. It's marvelous feedback. It tells me that there are marvelous people around the world who do know what's going on, and they say something about it. I'm sure they add their own opinions to what I'm saying, and a number of them do their own writing and circulate their own articles. But there's no question that what we're seeing is an example of America's permanent war policy. America has a permanent war policy. You could go back to the beginning of the Republic. There hasn't been a single year, not a single year, that America was at peace. You can look it up. It's in the public record. I have it all documented in black and white. I mean, you need a book to document it all. You need a good-sized book to do it. But every single year, and since the Republic was born in 1776, America has been at war with somebody, or more than one somebody, at home and or abroad, nonstop throughout its history. Again, not a single year of peace. And, of course, post-World War II, it really got ratcheted up. And post 9/11, it just went absolutely through the roof. And we see multiple direct and proxy wars waged around the world. How many listeners know that Obama authorized U.S. Special Forces? They're killers. Special Forces are killers. They're trained in the fine art of killing. That's what these people are. They are circulating in at least 120 countries worldwide. It may be 130 or 40, I don't know. But it's known. The Washington Post wrote about this a couple of years ago. In at least 120 countries worldwide, they do it covertly. Some countries invite them in. They come whether they're invited or not. And CIA operatives, they're everywhere. They're invited or they're not invited. And I forget who said it, but many people have said it. The U.S. embassies around the world, many people have said it, U.S. embassies around the world are spy nests. They're infested with U.S. spies. They pose as businessmen. They pose as diplomats. They pose as people doing other jobs. But they're spies. They're spying for America. They're up to no good. And, of course, it all comes down to imperial ambitions, being sure that America pursues its imperial agenda, which is unchallenged world dominance. That's what the dirty game is all about. So you destroy one sovereign country after another. You replace it with puppet governance, and you work toward the goal of unchallenged global dominance. That's the American agenda. That's what Bush supported. That's what Bill Clinton supported. You can go back president after president to Harry Truman. They all supported that. And Obama outdoes all of them. He exceeds the worst crimes of all his predecessors, including George Bush. And I've got it all documented in black and white.
That's right. That's right. In fact, Barack Obama is to put it mildly, is George Bush on steroids. On steroids. Barack Obama and his minions, be they Democrat or Republican, have ratcheted up the situation of insanity to the nth degree. I mean, it is just a point where I don't know how many folks in the audience know about the nuclear clock. It's a clock that deals with, I mean, it's all about indicating how close the world is moving to nuclear war. And I noticed that it hasn't been talked about very much recently. But the reason, of course, is because the Obama regime has moved this clock, if you will, closer and closer to the brink of utter annihilation. We're talking about utter annihilation simply because these bastards want to have global dominance. This is insane. It's outrageous. And only we the people can stop it. Obama, Kerry, Boehner, all of them, Democrats and Republicans, they are liars. They are criminals. They should be treated as such. They are criminals. They are war criminals. They say one thing and do exactly the other. And by now, the people of this country should be cognizant of that. We should know that. That's what we have. We have a bunch of pimps and bloodsuckers. They're not our leaders. They're not leading anybody. You know, they don't represent us. They certainly don't represent the everyday ordinary people of this nation, and they certainly do not in any way serve the humanitarian needs of people on Mother Earth, the rest of the nations and peoples around and throughout Mother Earth. So I can understand, my brother, why you are, I don't even think it's obsessed. What I think you are is you're doing your utmost to get out as much information as you possibly can. You're doing about this because it's not just about Syria. You're doing your utmost to get people to think, to make the connections, to draw the connections between what is going on and how it is affecting us. This has got to stop. Either we will stop this insanity, I hate to say it, either we will stop this insanity, or we will die. I don't want to die. And I don't want to see other people out there being murdered and killed massively at the whim of these butchers, because that's what they are. They're butchers. And we have to understand that, but they're doing this butchering in our names. In our names, brothers and sisters. Our names. No, this has got to stop. You know, so again, I'll shut up for a minute, Steve.
What you're saying is very, very important, absolutely. We're either going to stop this thing or we'll perish by it. There's no in-between. There literally is no in-between. And I can see it coming from policy, from U.S. policy. I've written extensively on U.S. police state laws that have passed post 9/11. They passed before 9/11, but after 9/11 they went into overdrive. I wrote a major article about it at the end of 2007. I titled it Police State America, A Look Ahead, and a Look... Oh, my goodness, I think it's the subtitle, I look behind it, I had something like that, but the main title was Police State America, and then I've documented it in dozens of subsequent articles, individual cases where innocent people, Muslims for the most part, were targeted. Innocent people, they go after the lawyers too, like Lynn Stewart, who would, mm-hmm. who would dare to defend a Muslim client that the Bush administration wanted in prison, even though he committed no crime whatsoever. They framed him. He's serving life in prison for doing absolutely nothing, and Lynn Stewart got an effective death sentence. Death sentence. Obama wants her dead. She's got stage 4 cancer. We've talked about it in this program. There's no way they're going to let her out of prison. They might let her out maybe weeks before it's too late to do anything for her. They've done that before a few times. So we've got that kind of stuff going on. Many more innocent people targeted. Every time you see a headline about terrorism plot thwarted, understand one thing. It's a bald-faced lie. There was no terrorist plot. It's all made up. It's fabricated. It's done to instill fear, incite fear, get people to think there really are bad people running around America. The only bad people I know running around America are the people who are running America. They're the terrorists, so-called retail terrorism. Oh, there's some terrorism abroad. It's the terrorism that America creates by its policies. But the real terrorism is state terrorism. I read a marvelous book about that years ago, and I've quoted from it a few times in previous articles. The man who wrote it was an extraordinary man. He's no longer a living. Others have written about it as well. But state terrorism is the real threat. It's not just from America, but American state terrorism, Israeli state terrorism, British state terrorism, they're the worst. You want to know what the real axis of evil is? Those three countries. They're responsible for more death and destruction, I think, than the rest of the world. Oh, I don't think. I know. From the rest of the world put together. These are the three countries to worry about. Unless there's a way to stop their agenda, heaven help us, we will perish.
Exactly. And we don't have to. This is the thing, Stephen, we don't have to. What we have to do if we are to live is that we have to stand up. Then the consequences, we have to stand up. Think of the consequences if we don't stand up. Our planet will be eliminated. We will be eliminated. All this nonsense about freedom, justice, and democracy is just that. There's no freedom, there's no justice, and there sure as hell is no democracy. And we need to, certainly not in this country, in this nation, and we have, for example, let's talk for just a second on Al-Qaeda. Who created Al-Qaeda? Al-Qaeda was created, formed, groomed, armed, trained by none other than the United States, and very more specifically, the Central Intelligence Agency. Who is fighting to overthrow the Assad regime in Syria? Al-Qaeda. Where is Al-Qaeda in large numbers to this very day? What happened in Iraq? Al-Qaeda came in huge numbers, and in fact, many of the so-called rebels are Al-Qaeda folks who have come in from where? Iraq. Why did they get there? Because the United States destabilized and destroyed that country, that sovereign nation. Let's use our common sense. I would have to say to our audience, believe nothing that these people tell us, the Obamas, the Kerrys, the all of them, because they couldn't tell the truth if their life depended on it. They are incapable of telling the truth. That is just not the way they are groomed. The whole thing is about propaganda for the purpose of controlling conclusions that people come to, for controlling what conclusions, the control of information. I'm so glad that you mentioned all of these so-called networks, these so-called news, PBS, NBC, ABC, MSNBC, Fox News, all of them. They are nothing but propaganda arms, and we have to turn it off, don't waste our time looking at this. Do your own research, as Brother Malcolm X has said. Dr. King also said the same thing. We have to do our own research and find out for ourselves from various sources just what the hell is going on and why it is going on. These things don't happen by coincidence. They don't happen by osmosis. I mean, come on, let's use your common sense. So the Assad government would invite the UN inspectors to come in and then launch a chemical attack? Come on! Even an amoeba would not be that stupid. But we are expected, we the people in the United States are expected to be that stupid. We are expected to believe that conjuring, and that's what I call the drone man Barack Obama. I call him the conjurer, Amabo the conjurer, which is just Obama spelled backwards. He's a conjurer. He's a liar. And he is the most effective one, or has been up to this point, the most effective one in this century thus far. We've got to stop it. We've got to stop him and his minions. And we can do it, but I'm saying, Stephen, I'm saying over and over again, our lives depend on it. We've got huge, massive problems in this country, economic, social, political, okay, but problems that are our infrastructure in this country is being weakened by these corporate bloodsuckers, is being destroyed, public funds stolen, outright taken, the Wall Street criminal bailout, who by the way, Barack Obama carried out in total opposition to what he had campaigned on. But so be it. That's what they do. We have got to understand that we need to be focusing our attention to what is happening here. We've got to get this blood off our hands. We've got to get this blood off our hands. And I don't give a damn whether you call yourself a Democrat, a progressive, a Republican, a leftist. I don't care what you call yourself. We've got to get this blood off of our hands and stop going for the ghost, as H.R. Brown used to say. In other words, stop being bamboozled or hoodwinked.
Well, absolutely, Larry, and I would add that there is no such thing as what Obama calls a limited strike. A limited strike leads to more strikes. The way they do strikes is something like this. I've never sat in and watched anybody do it, but this is basically what they do. They pick out targets. They're well picked out well in advance. There are reports in one of the articles on Syria I'm writing today, U.S. Special Forces, U.K., I believe French, I believe Israeli forces have infiltrated into Syria. They're doing it covertly, of course, and they're using a laser technology and other ways to pinpoint specific sites, including strategic sites like Syria's defenses, military defenses, especially its anti-missile defenses against the incoming munitions or aircraft or whatever. They're picking out these sites so they can be targeted. When the cruise missile strikes begin, they'll target whatever they know about, and they take photographs. They go back and they analyze the photographs to assess the damage done. If they feel they accomplished their mission, then at least round one of attacks are over with. If they haven't, there's round two. But even if they have accomplished them, there are more rounds to come because initial attacks lead to more attacks. The bottom line for America and its imperial allies is not slapping Assad on the wrist. The bottom line is regime change. It's done incrementally. This stuff has been going on for over 2.5 years. It could go on for another 2.5 years, but the goal is regime change. Get rid of another sovereign government, replace it with puppet governance, subservient to the West, subservient to Israel. Israel, as I've said before, wants to be a regional hegemon, and America wants to be a global hegemon, and that's the bottom line. It's the long-standing U.S. policy. It's long-standing Israeli policy. I wrote about Israel talking about this 30 years ago, a plan to Balkanize and get rid of the dominant Israeli rivals in the region, break them up into ethnic or smaller groups, and let Israel be the one superpower standing. And make no mistake about it, Israel is heavily nuclear armed. It has formidable chemical and biological weapons arsenals. And I will say categorically, because I've written about it, Israel has used radiological, biological, and chemical weapons in all its wars, at least since the 1970s. That's a fact.
That's right.
I've got it in articles that I wrote. You ever hear anybody talk about that in the West? No. False reports about Assad using chemical weapons are getting America to go to war and use what I call cruise missile diplomacy against him. But the horrendous crimes Israel commits using, and not just the wars themselves, which are horrendous crimes by themselves, but using banned weapons and other ones. All kind of, white phosphorus is one, flechettes that splinter like cluster bombs and literally shred human flesh to shreds. That's what these weapons are. Bullets that explode once they enter bodies. So it's not just getting a bullet wound. A bullet goes in one end, a small hole, and comes out a massive hole on the other and does incredible internal damage. If you don't survive the attack, you're ruined for life. It'll just destroy body organs. These are the kind of weapons Israel uses. Plus, as I said, radiological, chemical, and biological weapons. There have been studies done in Lebanon that I know of. Chris Busby, an expert on radiation, has done studies in Lebanon, has proved that after Israel's 2006 Lebanon war, I think in other attacks, I think in Gaza as well, that Israel not only used depleted uranium, it used enriched uranium weapons. Mm-hmm. And there's a name for enriched uranium weapons. It's called an atomic bomb. You can make them big. You can make them small. You can make them mini. You can make them any way you want to make them. You can make them 100 times more powerful than Hiroshima. You can make it 1,000 times more powerful. You can make it 1/10 or 1/100 as powerful. And these are the kind of weapons America uses, Israel uses. I think I mentioned on this program that a friend of mine who's been on this program was in Libya during the 2011 attacks, and he said he personally witnessed what looked like to him a whitish mushroom-shaped cloud after an explosion. I don't think there's any doubt what that was. This was NATO. This was NATO. It either was America, Britain, France. Those were the main belligerents, probably one of those three. Using an atomic bomb against the Libyan people? Ever hear CNN report that? Ever hear the BBC?
No.
Never.
No. No way. We're not going to hear those reports. But that's where that kind of research that you and I and others do, all of us should be doing this. All of us. We're not going to get it, you know, from CNN, ABC, CBS, CBS, none of Fox, none of these propaganda outlets. You know, I always keep in mind, especially when I think of Israel, how other than the United States, the strongest backer of the apartheid regime of South Africa, the strongest backer was Israel. People forget that conveniently. Okay, and the tactics of apartheid that Israel is using internally within Israel today uses tactics of apartheid. Okay, we have to be honest with ourselves. It's time to throw off these chains of ignorance. And you know, the Israelis, the Israeli government is who I'm talking about. The Israeli government working, of course, with the United States government are, in my opinion, they are the world's most destructive weapons of mass destruction. They are weapons of mass destruction. That's what they are. They are the terrorists, and they use terrorism in all forms against their own people.
Indeed, Larry, we need to take a short break. We'll take that and we'll come right back. I'll explain one very important thing that I don't think I've discussed, at least I haven't discussed it properly in this program. We'll be right back. welcome back. We'll get right back into the program again. I don't want to forget to mention this. I could sum it up in one short sentence. The road to Tehran runs through Damascus. The ultimate target in the region is Iran. There is nothing threatening about Iran. Iran hasn't attacked another country in two or three centuries. Iran threatens no one in the region, no one anywhere. All of the accusations against Iran are bald-faced lies. Same thing against Syria. You know, you hear them supporting terrorism, doing this, doing that, doing everything else. They're all bald-faced lies, accusing Syria of using chemical weapons. That's the latest one. But all kinds of other accusations. AIPAC accuses, but for years and years have accused both Iran and Israel of being sponsors of state terrorism. What is a sponsor of state terrorism, according to Iran? Lying in responsible ways with the legitimate Hezbollah government of Lebanon, with the legitimate Palestinian government of Hamas. That's what AIPAC calls state terrorism. Well, there is no terrorism whatsoever involved. AIPAC is a proliferator of lies and deceitfulness and duplicity and the rest of it, but the prime target in the region has been for many, many years, since not too long after the 1979 revolution, so we're going back over three decades. The Iranian government, it wants to reinstitute the time of the Shah under new leadership, you know, another dictatorship replacing sovereign Iranian independence, and you do it by isolating Iran. You eliminate its allied states. Syria is being targeted now. Lebanon, Hezbollah will be targeted. Hamas will be targeted. All of these supportive groups will be targeted. And the idea is isolating Iran. And then down the road at some point, there's a war planned against Iran. It's been on the books for many years, and you keep updating the plans over and over again. But they've been there. They've been there at least since the early years of the Bush administration, maybe even before that. That would be a war. The war against Syria is a war of madness, and a war against Iran would be absolutely, absolutely beyond the pale. Both either of these wars, and certainly the one against Iran, almost certainly will embroil the entire region. The Syrian situation has already crossed borders a little bit into Turkey, much more so into Lebanon. It easily can cross into Israel, into Jordan. From there, they can spread to other countries. It's affecting Iraq. It could just keep going. It can affect Egypt. Again, one country after another. We know the situation in Libya, which is an absolute cauldron of violence, and that's spread cross border into Mali. One thing leads to another. One war begets another war. You attack Iran, the region could go up in flames. If the region goes up in flames, the serious risk, and it's a real risk, it's global war. Global war has a name, World War III. That's the risk. That's what America is risking. That's what Israel, France, Britain are risking. Those are the stakes. That's what everybody needs to understand. World War I, Larry, as we know, was called the war to end all wars. We know what happened. World War II came. I hate to say it, and I certainly hope it never will happen, but I would say odds strongly favor World War III. And World War III, there won't be another World War after that. There won't be anything after World War III.
That's right. And the fact, I'm so glad that what you have done is you have encapsulated precisely what I was trying to say. You said it in three sentences, and that's very good. The fact is that the war against this aggression, this war against Syria, is not just directed against Syria. In fact, as you pointed out, this war is directed against Iran. Let us remember our history, brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers. Let us remember what the United States, Britain, and France did with respect to the democratically elected government of Iran in 1953. What did they do? They deposed, they overthrew the democratically elected leader of that country. They installed a jackass, a crony, a stooge, a bloodthirsty butcher, who became known as the Shah of Iran, okay? And that war has been going on against Iran on many, many levels for many, many decades. But yet we continue to ignore our history. We continue to ignore the fact that this is nothing new. But what is new is that we are now at the brink, we are at the precipice of annihilation. And Stephen, you put it so well. Another name for World War III, I've got to say this, another name for World War III, which where we are headed, is total annihilation.
Well, that's exactly right, Larry. And I've said a couple of times in this program that Hyman Rickover, former father of the U.S. nuclear navy, explained it to Congress back in the early 1980s that all nations use every weapon that they have as they need to use them if they get in a war with another nation. They use what they need to use to win. And if you get into a conflict that spills beyond the Middle East, you're going to get Russia and China involved. They're heavily nuclear armed. You get America involved in any kind of a conflict with Russia in China, we're talking about nuclear weapons being used. What we're talking is curtains. Curtains.
That's right.
You start throwing
That's
those
right.
things around, it's curtains. I don't think I read anybody's explanation better than Helen Caldicott, a nuclear expert, and she explained it. It's been a good while, but I've quoted what she had to say about that, including describing nuclear winter. It's nothing that you want to live through, but it certainly is a possibility. It literally means the end of the world. There's no way coming back from it. Maybe the bacteria and the roaches survive, but no human being will. The entire planet at some point will be engulfed in radiation. And it takes billions of years to cleanse the planet if this happens. That's the kind of risk that people running America are willing to take. Are those the kind of people you want to support? Well, of course not. Are those the kind of people you should speak out forcefully against? Of course you should. Anybody who wants to survive needs to get in this fight because we're literally in a fight for survival. It comes down to that. That's the bottom line. We're either going to survive or either going to perish, and Obama is heading us for absolute annihilation.
Yes, he is. And I think we need to really, really say this over and over and over again. Obama is hitting us and the peoples of Mother Earth, the peoples of this planet, of this world, to annihilation. I will say again, Obama is a consummate prevaricator. He is a liar. Obama is a megalomaniac. He will do anything and everything that his corporate, privatized masters tell him to do. And what's another name for that? Bloodsuckers. As you so eloquently described, Stephen, the fact of the matter is that, you know, these people, if indeed people is what they are, I sort of shudder to use the word people, because it is very difficult for me to think of folks like that as people. Let me call them creatures. These creatures will do anything to try and fulfill their avaricious, insatiable greed, their lust for power and domination. But it is us, just plain ordinary folks, who need to pull the foundation out. We need to stop supporting them. We need to stop supporting their propaganda voices and tools, such as the corporate stream, lame stream, pathetic stream, media, all of them across the board. We need to stop believing their lies. We need to start being our own media. And we've begun that, but we're not nearly anywhere near where we should be. We need to be our own media. And by the way, bro, I am so glad that you have been on Press TV a number of times. You are just the kind of person who is informed, who cares, who has integrity. You're the kind of person that needs to be on Press TV. So I hope they continue to have you many times.
Oh, I really enjoy going on, Larry. And for listeners who don't know much about Press TV, I strongly recommend it that you follow it. Anybody online can get it just by Googling Press TV. It emanates from Iran. And just imagine that this terrible nation, Iran, lets me come on and speak as freely as I do on this program, as freely as I do in the articles I write. And we don't just talk about Syria. I've been on discussing dozens of different topics, all kinds of things that happen to be relevant at the time. And they keep asking, and nobody tells me what to say. Nobody censors me. Nobody criticizes me for anything that I may say. And it shows because they keep inviting me back over and over again. They listen to and their viewers, television, so their viewers want to know the truth about what's going on. You can get it from Press TV, but you can't get it from American media, and that's why I call them the scoundrel media. They're scoundrels. What else are they? Press TV is the real thing. And other Iranian media, I've been on an Iranian television program, Sahar, H-A- SAHAR-TV. I've been on a number of times. Exactly the same thing. We've discussed many different topics. I get a longer interview on Sahar. It's a different format than Press TV has. Press TV covers many topics, and they'll have guests coming on one, then another, then another, then another. And Sahar usually has me on for about 15 or 20 minutes so I can elaborate in more detail. But I've been on at least a dozen times on Sahar, and it's marvelous, absolutely marvelous. We have a wonderful rapport together, and they keep inviting me back. Fars News Agency occasionally asked me to write an article for them. I sent them an article just a couple of days ago, and they published a couple of others that I wrote. I would imagine they'll publish this one. I get asked to do interviews, not just on air, but I get emails, including from journalists who ask me questions. And anytime I get that, I answer them. If I have a relevant article, I'll send them the article as well. But I'll specifically address the questions they ask and give them as much detail as I can without writing another article. but I'll try to go into enough detail so that they get a clear understanding of where I stand on a given topic. And I want to make this point too. My feeling about Obama, I don't need to explain this to you, Larry, but my feeling about Obama has nothing to do with the color of his skin, obviously. I was just as mean and nasty against George Bush. The only thing I don't care if Obama is black, white, or anything in between. The only thing I care about is he good or evil?
I, as a black person, a veteran of the Black Panther Party, former co-chair of the San Francisco Black Caucus, etc., regional minister of interior for the Republic of New Africa, I, as a black person, say this repeatedly. Obama is evil, and he is dangerous, and he is the more effective evil. He is evil. This is not about color. It's these folks over here who are trying to turn this into a color thing. It has nothing to do with color. It has to do with humanity, and humanity is black, white, brown, red, and yellow, all people combined. So I guess I get a little passionate about that because I see how they repeatedly, when I say they, I'm talking about the system, both Democrats and Republicans in this country try to play the color card. We have to dispense with that nonsense. At stake is humanity. At stake is our very existence. They are the racists. They are more than racists. They are the exterminators. And those exterminators include Barack Obama. He is an exterminator. He is a weapon of mass destruction against the peoples of this nation and of this world. I'm sorry, I had to interject that.
Oh, I appreciate that, Larry. And we both would echo what Martin Luther King said. This has nothing to do with the color of anybody's skin. The only thing that matters is the content of our character, Martin Luther mm-hmm. King. That's exactly mm-hmm. what it comes down to.
That's right, that's right. And Malcolm, people really don't understand how both Malcolm and Martin actually intersected. Malcolm said, and I quote, right is right and wrong is wrong, no matter who does it. Or who says it? So that had that, and that's true. And when Dr. King said that, you know, this is about the content of character, not the color of skin, he was absolutely correct. And it's more relevant today than any other time. That's why they reached into their trick bag, you dig? They reached into their trick bag. The system reached into their trick bag, and they pulled out this slimy, murdering, articulate conjurer, Barack Obama.
Oh, indeed, Larry. I wish so much I could have been able to meet Martin Luther King and Malcolm. I never had a chance to do it. It was so long ago. Malcolm, what was the year that he was assassinated? It was earlier than Martin.
Yeah, Malcolm died in 65 and King 68. Yeah,
he was killed. 68 for Martin Luther King, and of course, 1 year to the day before his assassination, state-sponsored assassination, he gave his Beyond Vietnam speech, where he called America the greatest purveyor of violence in the world, and he sure had that right.
Ooh, yes, and he talked about guided missiles and misguided men. Now, tell me, my brother, what could be more relevant than that? That's what Martin talked about and wrote about, guided missiles. He said, we have guided missiles and misguided men. And he was absolutely correct. And the henchman, if you will, of the misguided men today is none other than Barack Obama and his Democrat and Republican Party minions. And I'm going to call it like it is. These folks out here who want to call themselves leftists or progressives or liberals, I don't care what their label is. Why don't you, first of all, just be human? Just stop this insanity. Get over the nonsense. Stop being kept on this plantation, because that's what they've got us on. And they're going to keep us on it if we allow them to keep us, if we allow them to keep us on it. Harriet Tubman said, and I quote, "I freed 1,000 slaves. I could have freed 1,000 more if only they knew they were slaves." We don't have to be slaves. What we need to be is critically thinking human beings, and we need to act accordingly. We can do this. We must do this. And so I get passionate about this because we do have the ability and the capability. We got to stop, like you said, bro. You know, turn off this nonsense. CNN, ABC, CBS, PBS. Turn this nonsense off. We've got the ways and means to be communicating with each other, to be researching, be our own media. So I, as Smokey Robinson might say in one of his songs, I second that emotion. I second what you have to say, my brother.
We know, Larry, if Martin was alive today, what an incredible honor it would be for me to be able to have someone of his stature on this program and have him on for an extended time, just like you and me today. But, of course, that was long ago. 1968, he was assassinated, so it was so, so long ago. And Sirhan had absolutely, Martin Luther King, that was James Earl Ray, Sirhan, Bobby Kennedy. None of them had anything to do with it. all of these, Jack Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, all state-sponsored assassinations because they were on the right side of important issues, and that's the reason they were eliminated. And Martin was such a dramatic speaker. I'm old enough to remember hearing him speak. I have never in my life heard anybody a more eloquent speaker, a more effective speaker than Martin Luther King. I mean, I would kill for, I wouldn't kill, but I would do so much to be able to have anything close to the oratory skills that he had. He was absolutely extraordinary. Franklin Roosevelt had him. I was too young to remember his fireside chats on radio. There was no television in those days, but he was a very, very effective speaker, and he did them on radio. I think my parents used to listen to him, but it was too young in the 1930s, early 1940s. I was just a small boy, so I didn't appreciate it then until a few years later. And then he died in 1945 when I was about 10 years old. So even then, I vaguely remember it. I don't remember it enough to recall it vividly. I was still much too young. But he was a marvelous speaker. I don't know how he would react today. He certainly wanted World War II. It could be that he would be on the wrong side of history on this one as well, but you never know, so I won't indict him for that. I indict him enough. He did a lot of good things, but he also got us into World War II, and that never should have happened. And, of course, Woodrow Wilson got America into World War I after winning election in 1916 on a campaign, "We kept you out of war."
Sounds like Obama, huh?
Sounds like Obama. I've quoted Obama as a candidate. Sounds like two different people, Larry.
That's why I call him a megalomaniac. But because he is. Because he is. I'm talking about him politically. I don't know what the guy is like personally. I don't even know if he has a person or personhood. But, you know, I was fortunate enough to, I never actually met Dr. King, but I was about 2 feet from him because he happened to be speaking in my neighborhood. So I was literally about 2 feet there watching Martin speak. And I actually did meet and speak with Malcolm in 1961, and actually had time to speak with him. And so I remember his passion. I remember his principles. I remembered how he evolved from being a divider to a uniter. And that's, of course, when they had to eliminate him in 1965. And it was a state-sponsored killing. It was a state-sponsored assassination. The same thing with Dr. King. It was no James Earl Ray, please. It was state-sponsored. And there's plenty of evidence out there to that effect. But, you know, even if you don't know the evidence, use your cabeza, as my Chicano brothers and sisters say. Use your head. use your head. Just use your common sense, obviously. And I also, ironically, happened to be attending, it was in my senior year of high school in the Panther Party in L.A. when Bobby Kennedy was assassinated. And literally, it was about 2.5 miles from where I was going to school. And my point is that and I don't know where Bobby Kennedy would be standing, but I do know this, that based on the words of people such as Dr. King, people such as Malcolm, people such as Harriet Tubman, we have so many examples from Joe Hill to John Brown to Viola Luiso, who most people don't even know about. Look it up. Viola Luiso, wonderful woman who gave her life because she was on the right side of the struggle for justice and equality. I'm sure that those people would be on the right side, as in not right wing, left wing, but on the correct side, the side of humanity. And that's what we're struggling to be on, to stay on, to get more people on. That's what we've got to do. That's our job. That's our task. That's our only job, our only task.
It really is. And anybody who's on the wrong side of America, if they're effective enough, Larry, they get targeted for elimination. If they can kill a president, they can kill anybody, or a Martin
right.
Luther King, or an Attorney General, Bobby Kennedy. They can kill anybody. And the only one I know who miraculously survived literally hundreds of assassination attempts and is still alive about... got to check his age, 86, 87 now. Fidel Castro, miraculously, he survived literally hundreds of attempts that America made to kill him, going back to the Eisenhower administration. From that time, in the late 1950s, 1959, the Cuban Revolution, 1959-1960, Jack Kennedy was there during the Bay of Pigs that the Eisenhower administration planned, and it was a colossal failure. He refused to give the invaders from South Florida air support. It was a colossal failure, and he refused to do it again. That was one of the sins that was held against him, not going after getting rid of Castro. I don't know what he did covertly to try to get rid of him. I don't think he put his heart into it the way other U.S. presidents have. But Castro was still alive. He survived a very, very serious illness, and he's in his late 80s now. I mean, he could. I hope he lives to be 100, because he certainly is not the ogre that America makes him out to be. He took a Cuban dictatorship and got rid of it, where Cuba was a combination of mafia gangsterism and a brothel, and he turned it into a legitimate country. And that was the sin that was held against him. And he survived to this day to talk about it and show the results of what he did. Is Cuba a perfect country? No. And they're going through tremendous problems because of the multi-decade U.S. embargo.
That's right. And you describe it so well when you talk about how Cuba was a combination of mafiosos running the country and a huge brothel. Okay, that's what Cuba really was under the dictatorship of none other than Batista, the U.S.-backed dictator of Cuba. But then we also keep in mind other dictators that this country constantly backs. How dare this country open its mouth? The misleadership of this country to talk about freedom, justice, democracy, humanitarianism, when this country is in fact the devil of devils. Who did they back in Spain? Why, they backed the dictatorship of none other than Francisco Franco, the dictator of Spain. U.S. backed, okay? Who did they back in Portugal? They backed the dictatorship of the Caetano Salazar regime, out-and-out dictators. Okay, blatant dictators, and yet they have the unmitigated audacity to talk about, in this case, Syria or any other country. Who are they backing now? They are backing Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda. I call it Al-CIA because they were created by the United States, armed by the United States, trained by the United States. And we have to understand that this is a pattern. So that's it, my brother.
Larry, thank you so much. The music means that we've come to the end of the program. It goes much, much too fast. Larry, yeah. I look forward to getting you back. I'll shoot you an email after I get off here. Tune in next Friday. 11 a.m. Eastern Time. We're on weekends at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. I always say make it a regular habit. You'll hear nothing but the truth from marvelous, marvelous guests like Larry Pinkney today and others. This program is a truth hour. The rest of PRN has marvelous programming. Stick with PRN. I hope you'll stick with this program. I will deliver the best I can. It's important to do. Tell others about it. We all need to get in this fight together. Our survival is literally at stake.